Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have discovered that John's second epistle begins with a commendation. That is, the body of the epistle begins with a commendation. The epistle itself, of course, begins with a salutation, where John identifies himself as the author with the term the elder, and identifies the recipients as a local church and its members, which we believe is the meaning of the term the elect lady and her children. And he follows that with a customary greeting, which really turns out to be a benediction, a blessing pronounced upon his readers who are Christians. They are members of this church that he's writing to. But after covering the customary salutation, which you would find in virtually any epistle, or as we would call it, a letter in John's day, we come to the commendation in verse 4. And here John says, I rejoiced greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. This occasion of great joy that certainly lifted the heart of the Apostle John was because these people, the members of this church, were walking in truth. They were walking according to the Word of God, which they had been taught. You would think, I suppose, that that would be true of everyone who calls himself a Christian. It ought to be, but it isn't always. And where John finds that the profession and the behavior line up, they are parallel, they are related, one reflects the other, his heart is filled with great rejoicing. But we'll go on from there on this Thursday, April 25, as you have joined us for that purpose. And we are grateful for the radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. The commendation, I just remind you before we lay it aside, before we leave it behind, is also a testimony to the doctrine of the Trinity. Even though only two members of the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son, are specifically mentioned here, nevertheless, it is important to understand that. I'm actually referring to verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found some of your children walking the truth as we received commandment from the Father. So who does the Word of God come from? The Father or the Son? Both. Or to put it another way, who does truth come from? The Father or the Son? Answer, both. And as you study Scripture, you realize that it comes from the Holy Spirit too. In fact, He is the one who guides, directs, protects, preserves the authors of Scripture as they write, to make sure that what they write is not only their own thoughts and words, but is at the same time the unerring Word of the living God. So this is a testimony to the doctrine of the Trinity, even though this isn't a passage teaching the doctrine of the Trinity as such. This doesn't say, now here's the nature of God. He is he is one God in three persons. He is a Godhead with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that, but the truths that are dealt with here and the way they are dealt with point back to that obvious conclusion, that obvious reality. And again, though only the Father and the Son are mentioned here, once you have established that the Godhead has more than one person, you have the foundation for the Trinity. Now, obviously, you have to study the rest of Scripture to find out exactly how many persons are involved in the Godhead, but once you get to the place where you understand that God is one God in more than one person, in this case, Father and Son, distinct persons, but nevertheless, both God, and once you get to that point, then, of course, it's a very minor matter to nail down from the rest of Scripture exactly how many persons are in that Godhead, and it turns out to be three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The real battle for many people is whether or not there could be more than one person in the Godhead. And most of those who deny that accuse those who believe in the doctrine of the Trinity of worshiping three gods. Muslims accuse Christians of worshiping three gods. They, according to their own estimation of their own worship, they are the ones who worship one God. They are monotheists, but Christians worship three gods. Jews sometimes accuse Christians of worshiping three gods. That's an interesting study in itself because it can be demonstrated from historical writings of Jewish rabbis in the early years that they too acknowledge the plurality within the unity of the Godhead. But with the coming of Jesus Christ and the claims of Christians that he is God and the rejection by the majority of Jews that Jesus is in fact God, there was also a walking back of this concept of plurality within the unity of the Godhead and in its place, an emphasis upon God being one God and one person. And so Christians are accused of worshiping three gods because they say the Godhead consists of three persons. But I only talk about this because it is critically important to understand that this is what the Bible teaches. The question is not, does it make sense to me? Because, frankly, I have not been able to fully understand the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm no closer to understanding that today than I was, I don't know how many years ago, when I first became aware of it. Maybe 60 years or so when I first began to think about it, maybe even a little bit before that, and to wonder about it and to turn it over in my mind and to find it difficult even in my boyhood mind to understand this concept of the Trinity. And I must say, though, I know a great deal more about it now from theological education and from theology books, systematic theology books, and other treatments of the doctrine of the Trinity. I certainly know a great deal more about it now than I did when I was a boy. I can't say that I have come to understand it any better or to feel that I understand it fully and completely, that I can say, now I understand the doctrine of the Trinity. I understand how it can be that God is one God in three persons. I don't claim to understand it. I just claim to believe it because that's clearly what the Bible teaches. That's what it boils down to. I'd like to understand it, but I don't have to. I do my best to understand it, but I don't have to understand it to believe it. I have to be willing to accept what the Bible teaches and to acknowledge that God is always going to be something of a mystery to the human mind. And really, it would be surprising if he were not. If God is not any greater than man, then of course we should be able to understand him. If God is a man, we definitely should be able to understand him. And I'm afraid the problem with the God that some people worship that is not a triune God is that their God is too small and too human-like. They can only worship a God that they can understand. Well, isn't that interesting that this God who is eternal and who is all-powerful and who created us, and we are creatures and He is the Creator, that we demand that we be able to fully understand Him if we're going to believe in Him. That really is audacious. I can understand why people would tend to reason that way until you think it through and realize what it is that you are demanding. And what you are demanding is that unless you can understand something thoroughly, something perfectly or near perfectly, you can't believe it. And because you can't understand God, the High and Holy One, the Majestic One, the One who dwells in unapproachable light, the One who is invisible, the One who cannot be seen without bringing death to the one who sees Him, to understand this One who is infinitely great, who is eternal, just start there. Explain to me eternal. Explain to me a being that has no beginning, who has always existed. Explain that to me. Let's start there. We don't have to start with the doctrine of the Trinity. Let's just start with the doctrine of eternality. Explain to me how God can be eternal. I can't explain that. I can't understand that. Can you? But I believe it, because that's what the Bible reveals. So to demand that I understand something before I am willing to believe it is trying to pull God down to my level. I have taught on this broadcast many times, and you have heard me, that Christianity is a thinking religion. It does require our thought, our study, our use of logic, our mental facilities. It is a religion of knowledge. We study what the teaching of it. We don't just accept everything at face value without examining it. But that does not mean that we are capable of understanding everything, particularly the mystery of God, who is infinitely greater than ourselves. If we explain to me the universe that God created, you can't explain that. There are so many things in this universe that nobody has understood, and some will say, well, we're still working on it, we're still studying it, we can't explain it all yet, but someday we'll be able to. Well, maybe, maybe not. I'm quite convinced that we never will, but whether that's a matter of faith, to say someday we will, that's faith. You didn't arrive at that by understanding. You didn't arrive at that because you could see how that is so. That's a matter of faith. You are placing your faith in the investigations of science, and you are choosing to believe that even though you don't understand it fully and you don't have the evidence that proves what you are asserting. But you won't do that with God? Do you see the problem? You can't understand the universe, but you believe there is a universe. You can't understand eternality, anything that is eternal without beginning, but you believe, I presume, that God is eternal. So why do you demand to understand the concept of the Trinity before you believe it? That makes no sense. We'll come back tomorrow and we'll discuss this further, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.